He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Today we rejoice in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he has overcome sin and death for our sake and for our salvation. It is our high holy day, a day of rejoicing, a day of gladness. We see the Lord Jesus Christ is very forthright with his disciples, and he tells them very plainly what is going to happen to him. He told them that he would be arrested, that he'd be brutalized, spit upon, falsely accused, that he would be tormented, scourged, and crucified, and then on the third day he would rise again from the dead. It was finally dawned upon the disciples when they came to the day of the resurrection what he was talking about. It was so far outside their kin. But then it came to be known, that great and glorious fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But his word was true. The word of God cannot be broken. He is faithful to his promise. And so the truth who is now incarnate, Jesus Christ, who is the true, who says, I am truth, he is the one now who speaks to us and gives us that same assurance. For the Lord Jesus said at the tomb of Lazarus, and he says to us, I am the resurrection and the dead. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And so his promise is now to us. At the Last Supper, Jesus spoke to the disciples very comforting words when he said that he had to go away from them, but then he would come again to them. And as they were unsettled by this, he comforted them by saying that in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so he makes the promise of heaven to them that he is going to prepare a place for them. Bridegroom, as he prepares a house for his bride, he is going before us to prepare the way. So the Lord Jesus has spoken the truth, and beautiful, we had the morning prayer, New Testament lesson, and it's a statement of the angel. When the women come to the tomb, and the angel says, why do you seek the living among the dead? He has risen as he promised. So we have the word of God that is spoken by the truth incarnate. And that is a promise to us. He will rise from the dead. He will bring us to the joys of heaven. That is his promise. We see also, some would say, well, actions speak louder than words. And so today we're rejoicing in the historical fact of the action of God in Christ, for he has broken the power of death and risen again from the dead. And so there is both the word and the deed in Christ. He was crucified. He died upon that cross. He was taken down from the cross after the spear wound and the nailing. He was wrapped in tight bands of cloth with 100 pounds of myrrh when he was buried in the tomb of St. Joseph of Arimathea, who assisted with Nicodemus at the burial. And then on the third day, he rose again from the dead. The burial clothes were left lying there, and the disciples were able to witness him. They saw him after he rose again from the dead. So, on the day of the resurrection, the disciples were gathered, and Jesus came through the locked doors into the room and said, peace be unto you. And for 40 days after his resurrection, he showed them with many infallible proofs of the veracity and truth of his resurrected state. Which wasn't like just a revival of a man. It wasn't just that he was brought back to this life. He was brought back to the greater life. He was in a glorified state. And it showed to them that by the power of the one who is deathless, now the power of death had been broken over our human race. Death had dealt the lifelessness of Christ, or his eternality, his immortality had broken the power of death. It had dealt death, a death blow. And in his rising again from the dead, now glorified, he showed them what is our hope and expectation. For we now are in a body that is moribund. We will die. We are now in bodies that will suffer the penalty of sin, the consequence of sin, which is death. But that is not a lasting state for us, for in us Christ dwells. And by the same power that raised him up from the dead, we too shall be lifted up from the dead, and our bodies too will be glorified. So this mortal will take upon itself immortality, and this corruptible body will be vested with incorruption. For death is swallowed up in victory in Christ, and now life has overwhelmed death. And so we are now gifted by grace for the fact of the resurrection, and that God has given to us an example. He has given to us the first fruits, Jesus Christ, the first one of our human race, who is lifted up from death, now ascended into glory, and that shows what is going to happen to us. That is our sure and certain hope for the God who keeps his promise that we too will rise again from the dead. We have a pledge of life eternal that we participate in, a pledge of life eternal that we participate in this morning, the Holy Communion. And when we take of that body and drink of the blood of Christ, we are now given the pledge, the promise of life immortal is given to us anew. For Jesus says, "Whosoever eats my body and drinks my flesh has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And so we are now participating in the victory of Christ through this sacramental grace and through our worship this morning together at the gift in these gifts of the Holy Communion. There is oftentimes a fear of death that people have when they think about dying. They're not sure what's going to happen next. You know, we've always been alive since the time we were conceived. We don't know what it's like to die. And so it's the great unknown, right? People are afraid of it. They think maybe there's nothing after death. But we don't need to be afraid, for the promises are given to us by Christ himself. And if you think about this, we have been gifted with a gift of life, for God, out of the abundance of his love, has shared life with us. He has brought us to consciousness. He has been communicating with us ever since we were conceived. He's been giving us life, holding us together, showing us the way. And every example or every experience that we've had of a gift of grace, whether it's been a connection to God through the created order, where we saw something that made our jaw drop because it was awesome, something beautiful and radiant that we saw and beheld and that we felt connected. Every time that we've been gifted with sacramental grace through baptism, where we're incorporated into Christ, or the Holy Communion, where we receive him anew, or where we are now in conversation with God through the living word and through our prayers, through the mouth of friend and stranger, God showing love to us, his comforting us when we're sorrowful, his lifting us up when we're down, his strengthening us when we're weak. All these gifts of grace that God has given to us, it's a conversation with God is not going to stop. It's not going to turn off when we die. Instead, it's going to amplify. We will go through the grave and gate of death into the greater life. We go from this life to the greater life. I love the words of N.T. Wright, who said, "Don't you realize that you're just a shadow of your future self? And God is a God of surprises. He has much more to reveal to us. He loves you. And so we will rest in that love now and forever. For Christ is risen from the dead, and we too shall rise again from the dead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.